We are here to do two things: create awesome tasting coffee and empower women in the coffee industry. And have fun. That's three things. Deal with it. Hello, everyone. My name is Nicole, and welcome to She's the Barista. Today's guest is actually not just one guest. Today, I will be talking to an all-female small-batch roastery based in southwest England. They source specialty coffee from female producers and those who work to support them. The roastery is run by Fi O'Brien and Casey Lalonde. Fi, originally from Australia, is head of brand and customer relations, which means she takes care of designing, marketing, and social media. Casey, on the other hand, is originally from the US and a pro roaster and responsible for sourcing the green beans. Together, they stand for a new generation of coffee as they put the spotlight on female producers and aren't afraid of openly discussing equality in the industry. I think by doing this, they are not just empowering women, but changing lives. And I am so excited to welcome them today. Welcome, Girls Who Grind Coffee.
To start the podcast, thank you so much for being here with me today. At the start of the podcast, I've said a quote from you, which you didn't hear yet, and I'm just going to repeat that quote. The quote is, "We are here to do two things, create awesome tasting coffee and empower women in the coffee industry, and have fun. That's three things. Deal with it." Well, first of all, I think this quote is incredibly strong, and at the same time, it's smart and funny. But I think it prevents maybe eventual criticism that you might receive. So do you remember when you said this, and what was your intention about saying this? And did you start your roastery already expecting people to maybe criticizing you?
Definitely. I think when we did first start out, we almost had a little bit of an intention to create a bit of a stir. And obviously with that does definitely come a bit of a backlash, I suppose, or criticism, like you say. But I think for us, it was kind of exciting to get people talking. And that's essentially what we're here to do, is to start to spark up that conversation and get things changed and moving forward in the industry.
And I got this quote from your website, and I think it's incredibly strong, and it shows exactly what your project stands for. So before we talk a little bit about your roastery, I would like to get to know the girls behind the coffee. Mm-hmm. So Fi, you're from Australia, which is quite funny because that's where I'm in the moment. and you're from Melbourne.
I am from Melbourne, yeah.
Cool. Born and raised?
Born and raised, yeah, I was actually. I had,
So if I researched that correctly, you started your like normal career, let's place it like this, in designing. and I think that explains why your designing of your brand right now is incredibly amazing. And I would just like to ask you, what was your way from being a designer to doing coffee now?
Sure thing. Well, yeah, like you say, I started off in an advertising agency. I studied a BA in art direction advertising and then moved into the industry. And then worked my way up into creative strategy, which was about brand management and brand development and creating strong relationships between brands and their customers. And also, being from Melbourne, I was sort of always in cafes and had a super passion for cafes and the community around coffee culture. So with that, I, at the age of 23-ish, moved out of advertising and wanted to still utilise those skills, but move into the coffee industry. So I opened up my own cafe in a little place called Fitzroy.
With 23, that's impressive.
Yeah, well, I needed a bit of a change. I had the creative side, which I really loved, but I also had this passion for cafe culture. So really thought it'd be a good opportunity to incorporate both of those skills. So I did do that and had that going for a good sort of almost 5 years, which was an incredible and steep learning curve, as you could imagine at that age. But then never lost that passion for cafe culture. And so my career has always swayed between design, well, brand strategy and coffee culture. So yeah, that's how it kind led to me to where I am now.
I mean, for me being in Australia at the moment, obviously I have visited Melbourne. For all of the listeners who have not been to Melbourne, it is kind of like a melting pot, and especially coffee is a big, big topic there. And it's way bigger than what we know from Europe, I would say. Would you agree?
Yeah, I'm really interested in how it sort of started in Melbourne, and it really did start with the influx of Italians to Melbourne in the 1950s, bringing kind of the espresso drinking culture, and it kind of grew from there, which is, you know, now it's kind of developed as it is here very, very quickly as well in the UK. But yeah, that I'm really sort of interested in how that process started in Melbourne. So yeah, it's really cool.
That's really cool. And so you've had your own shop and everything, and then you decided to go to the UK?
Yes, I moved to the UK in 2006, and I've been here ever since. Kind of came over and never went back. I do have a visa though, but
yeah. What was your intention to go there?
I actually met my husband, Ben, while I was in Melbourne, and then came over, and yeah, the sort of I still miss Melbourne and Australia, and I still feel like that's my home, but I've definitely made a place for myself here in the UK. So yeah, never expected to come over here, but here I am 13, 14 years later.
So in 2006, when you moved to the UK, did you start working in coffee straight away again, or?
No, I actually, my husband Ben is an illustrator. He does the illustrations for our pack designs. What was the question?
if you started working coffee straight away again.
No.
When you.
No. Yeah, too much coffee this morning, that's for sure. I worked in design, so I stayed within the design realm and did a lot of sort of not illustration stuff, but working alongside Ben. And I had started up like a homewares brand, which was about pattern-based textiles, and a few little projects like that. So I've always kind of started up my own little side projects, but then whilst doing that, I really did miss the hospitality industry, believe it or not, and went and started working at some cafes around where we live here in Froome, and then started managing a cafe bakery called Rye Bakery, that's also here, and during that time also had met Casey, and so that's where our sort of conversation got sparked about what we wanted to see in the industry.
So you did meet Casey in England then?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, fantastic. That's a perfect bridge for me. to now just switch to Casey. Hi there.
Hey.
So let's talk about what your roots are, because you're from the US.
Yep.
Where exactly?
I'm from upstate New York, in a little town. Yeah.
And you studied after school, is that correct?
Yes, I did.
You studied psychology. Sociology.
Yep.
and I'm guessing that you dived into coffee through your studies, is that correct?
Yeah, even before I went away to uni, I've always had this kind of weird interest in coffee. And then through my studies, I got more into the people side of coffee and the production and the value chain.
And the interaction, I guess.
Yeah.
And then it took a pretty big jump, I would say, because a lot of baristas that I know can never really get the gateway to roasting, but you did, because you were so interested in the scientific facts of coffee that you actually made the jump to roasting. How was that for you?
Yeah, well, actually, I worked in roasting before I worked as a barista, which is quite odd, but because of this passion for coffee, I reached out to my local community and started talking to two university professors. I was living in Vermont at the time, and I got involved in a few different groups. One of them led me to a roastery in Vermont where I was volunteering to help pack and distribute coffee for a small group of farmers in Honduras. And so this was my first trip to a roastery, and I just fell in love. It was amazing, and I wanted to be there. It was a roastery and a lab as well. And as luck would have it, they needed someone to help out. So I was very lucky and landed a job there.
That's amazing. If you say it was a roastery and a lab as well.
Yes.
What does that mean?
So it was called Coffee Lab International, and it still is. My boss was a Q grader, but he also gave the Q course. So I was assisting on Q grading courses and roasting courses and cupping courses. And the lab was where he analyzed green beans from all over the world for importers. So he did the quality control for a lot of importing companies. So I was the one to receive the samples, go through, do all the first steps of the analysis, roast the samples, and set up all the cuppings.
That's incredible. Yeah, and you said a lot of big words now for maybe a lot of the other listeners, because so you have done a lot of exams in your coffee career, I would say, and a Q grader is one of those exams, right?
Yes. Yeah, it is. It is a it's a course and an exam that leaves you with a qualification to score coffees. And the idea is to get as many people in consuming countries and producing countries to become Q graders. It's basically created so we have a common language to talk about coffee.
To measure the quality of coffee, right?
Yes. Yes, that's right.
And so you're in a perfect example how to properly study coffee, I would say.
Yeah, there's just so much. There's so much out there to learn. Like, you could never be a coffee expert. That's what I love about coffee, because you'll never know everything.
It's endless. It's an endless field. You'll never reach the top. It's incredible.
Exactly.
Do you think it relates in some ways to what you originally studied?
Definitely. My background is quite different to Fee's. It's always been about the coffee and the people side for me, the background stuff. Fee's amazing at what she does, and I don't have any background in design, and I don't know much about it. But what I do like is the people side and the connections. And I did learn that when I studied sociology. I was interested in how coffee can form these relationships and help to connect people. And it makes the world seem quite a small place.
So you are two very opposite people from that side, I would say. And then you met in the UK. How was that? How did it happen? How did you two, get together and then obviously realize that you both have an interest in coffee? And was it just an idea at the start to be like, oh, you know, we're drunk, we should open a roastery. That'd be a great idea. I hope that's not exactly the story.
Do you want to tell this one, Fee?
Sure. Well, we've both got well, then small children. Now they're getting much bigger. Mine's taller than me and he's 10. But we met through our children originally, which well, basically as new, not newish mums, but we had small children, so we definitely needed a lot of coffee at the time. And we just got speaking about our past backgrounds within the coffee industry. And just had a real commonality there and a connection with our thoughts on things we loved about the industry, but also things we wanted to see different and our past experiences which we weren't so happy about. So yeah, hence we got talking about things we could possibly do ourselves. And yeah, the way it kind of happened was kind of serendipitous, I suppose. I had an idea for a name of a business, but I wanted to do something that was about women in the industry, but I didn't know what I wanted to do with it exactly at all. Just thought maybe like a festival for women in the coffee industry or something along those lines. And Casey has always had that passion and that dream to open up her own roastery. So, and then she was in the States at the time and came back, and I was sitting in a cafe in Froom, and she sort of walked past and tapped on the window. She said, "I'd love to talk to you." And so she came in and said, "Oh, I had this idea." Or was it a dream, Casey?
It could have been a dream. Maybe it was. I think I had made a decision that this was our future. And
So from that, basically, from that one conversation in the cafe of Katie going, "Yeah, so we want to open up a roastery and we're doing it together." And I was kind of like, "Yeah, cool. This sounds really good. I've got the name. Perfect. Let's do it." So from that, we kind of just met, once or twice a week to get our business plan started. This is the boring side of things, but get the business plan started and just have those conversations of the direction we wanted to take it, and completely committed ourselves to only buying from female producers, and having a really strong message and community built for women in the coffee industry, and kind of built it from there. And it happened surprisingly quickly, really. We had an idea, and then I think 6 months to a year later, it was launched, So we launched in October 2017 at a festival called Festafeel, which is run by Chris Helenger of Copperfeel. And that was kind of our first access to the market, which was an incredibly exciting opportunity for us. So it's just kind of grown exponentially from there, which we're super proud and have much gratitude for. So yeah.
Amazing. I just have one question.
Hmm.
If the origin of the idea is quite specific, I would say, to be like, you know what, we want to open a roastery and put the spotlight on female producers, and we want it to be female one because obviously you're two women. The intention behind that idea, did that have you feeling treated like not equal, or what was your reason behind that? Instead of just saying we want to open a roastery, but with this specific spotlight.
Well, I think we both have different reasons for this. I mean, me personally, having worked in lots of, obviously I had my own cafe, so I didn't come across those issues there. Although when people, people were delivering stuff or business people would come to my cafe, they said, "I'd like to speak to the owner." And this is a long time ago, by the way, because I'm old. But they were very much like, "Oh, can I speak to the owner?" And I'd say, "Well, yeah, that's me." And they kind of would sort of think, I'm not sure about that because, you're a small woman. But so there was lots of little, not that's not the only thing, but lots of different little things that we saw happening with the industry that we weren't, didn't feel as though there was enough representation for women from that point of view. And yeah, just also from the drinker side of things, I didn't feel like brand wise or community wise there was something for them. So we wanted to also speak to those people in the marketplace, which is also us. So we had an immediate connection there. And Casey had a different experience, so I'll let her tell you that. But yeah, that's
Yeah,
a little bit
it's an
why.
issue, sorry, it's an issue that runs throughout the value chain, and we wanted to highlight that. It was something that we could focus on entirely. Gender equality is a huge issue in producing countries, and all the way up through to consuming countries. So something that we both felt strongly about and we thought needed some attention.
And I think you're spreading your message very, very clever, because apart from only buying from female producers and having amazing specialty coffee on your website, you also have an incredible marketing strategy, I think, with merchandise that, because that's the reason why I found you like years ago. I had an ad on my phone and it had your shirt on, and I was like, that is radical. And I ordered it and I was so proud of wearing it. And I think this has made you stand out so much, because you're using nowadays social media and the infrastructure of women being a little bit more empowered and being more open about, I want to be a strong woman. Mm. And you're combining that with the message that you want to spread about coffee. 100%. But I think is incredible. It's genius, seriously.
Thank you.
Diving.
You can't see that I'm blushing.
No, say. Okay, and going in a little bit more into your concept of female producers, because I think that's a novelty for a lot of people. People care about origin, they care about varieties, they care if it's washed or natural, and that's already, people that care about that are already pro consumers in the sense of coffee. Like, if they care about that, they are already like so well educated. So I remember a day when I was in my shop in Berlin, and a female producer from Colombia came up, and she told me about her project, and it was also an all woman farm, and she thought I might be very interested, and I really, really was, because she told me the story of how Colombia has, like, I can't remember the perfect numbers now, so please don't reference me, but it's like 70 to 80% of female producers. Due to political change where women had to take the jobs of men, so that nearly all of the coffee farms are run by women and they're managed by women and everything like this. And I was shocked. I didn't know anything about this. All I knew from Colombia is they produce amazing coffee. So this was kind of like a novelty story for me. Do you have similar stories where you heard stuff or where you researched stuff where you were like just blown away by the work that they do, and this was your point where you said, we really want to advertise it, we really want to use their coffee because we want to push them to the European market as well?
Yeah, I mean, we hear amazing stories all of the time. One quite recent story that I can share. We speak a lot to a producer called Cynthia LaRue. She's in Nicaragua. She has an incredible story. When she was younger, her family had to flee the country. Their land was taken over. And she was one of the ones who went back to the country, reclaimed their land. And this woman she is just so badass. And she is an amazing businesswoman. Whenever you deal with her, she doesn't, when you ask her a question, she never says, let me go, let me see if I can work this out. She just says, yes, we'll do this. Yes, we can make this work. So she's taken some very brave steps recently. She wasn't happy with the way the importer she was working with were dealing with her and the prices that she was getting for her coffee. So she drove to the mill and took her coffee away. She took it back, got in touch with us. She wanted to make sure that we have her coffee because she loves what we're doing. She wants to support us. We obviously want to support her. So we've just worked with her to get the coffee over here through another means. She's also in the process of setting up her own mill because she's sick of being reliant on other people. She wants to be in complete control of her coffee. And I just admire her so much. I think her story is incredible. And we can't wait to share this new harvest with everybody.
This is a fucking great story. Sorry. you know, it just came to my head. Yeah. To my head just came a quote from, I think, the Meghan Markle is her name. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah.
And I think she said that women are like black tea. They never know how strong they are until they are put in hot water. Mm. which is one of the things that I come across quite recently, like quite often when I research stories like this. It's like there's been an extreme situation where you have to decide black or white, and the most amazing stories come out of this. Thank you so much for telling us that. That's really cool. So my next question is, when you establish the brand, this is for me quite interesting, because I think I know a lot of people from the UK, and I think I know a lot of quite opinionated people over there. And so when you established your business in 2017, correct? Is that correct?
That's right, yeah.
So you're quite young. And yep. When you came up with this idea and when you went public, was there a lot of, well, I would say there was probably a lot of support, but my question now is, was there maybe a lot of people being like, you know what, like female empowerment is a facade because we're already living in a apparently very equal society? So how did you react to people that say maybe you're only claiming to be feminist to sell more coffee?
I think the fact that we believe so strongly in what we're saying and what we're doing, that if, you know, people can have that opinion if they like, but in a way we just ignore all of those people in a way, because it's not, they're not our audience anyway. The people that we want to speak to with our company is people that are like-minded. So we also want to have that open discussion and have an open door policy, which we 100% do. We don't discriminate, and we don't don't say this coffee is only for women. But what we want to say also is that it is there to, you know, to support women. So and to give them a place of connection. So in a way, if people have those opinions, we just kindly ignore them and get on with our way and stay true to what we believe in. And I think that's all you can do, basically, just say welcome and move on. Because we have come across people along the way that have just like you say, consider us a bit of a token business. I think that's changed dramatically over the last, you know, when we first started, it may have been more of that opinion that we're just a token business and using kind of that marketing strategy to sell coffee. But I think as we go along and we refine our sourcing philosophy and all of those things that are incredibly important to us, that people realize how serious we are about what we're doing and what we're saying. So yeah.
Well, I imagine it being incredibly hard. It's like I would talk to a person who's denying climate change, and I'm like, well, it's obvious, it's there. So if I'm talking to someone who's denying that that equal pay isn't there, for example, because it isn't, I'd get so angry. Like I'd probably find it very, very hard to then stand my point and to be reasonable with them, because a lot of those people that I've come across, at least when I work on conventions, they're just, it's bothering me in my sleep. So, I guess we've all come across situations where it's just like, oh, damn it, I should have been smarter. I should have been giving him the right answer at this time. Was there a situation for you where a person said something to you where you're just like, this is so unbelievably wrong and blunt, and it is just so unbelievably wrong that I can't find a way to respond to that?
Yeah, and we have had people, mainly men, I can't remember one woman, come up to us at trade shows and accuse us of being sexist because we only buy from women. And I've also seen, I think,
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, Fee. Can you say that again? I think you cut out for a second.
Okay. I don't know where I was before. But
you were at the trade show, and the person said that you are sexist because you're only buying from women.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had that before. But I think that it's people who say that, they don't have all of the facts, and it depends on how you look at it. a lot of people say, well, why does it matter who grows your coffee? Like, all that matters to me is the quality of the coffee, men, women, whatever. But for us, we know that there is not gender equity. So if you think about female producers, yeah, there are a lot of women who are producing coffee, but they don't have the same access to the market. They don't have the same access to training. That's why it's so important to support female producers, because they don't have all of the resources that men have.
So how does that look like on the farm level? If you say they don't have all the accesses, they don't have all the resources, mm-hmm. Does that mean that coffee companies or trading companies basically just don't talk to them? Or do you think that men have the better connections? Or
well, yeah, I think that a lot of women they're doing the unskilled labor. They're not in the roles where value is being added to coffee along the way. So they're picking the coffee and they're sorting the coffee, and they're not in those management positions. And we're trying to support organizations that are helping to provide those resources to the women.
Mm. So you're doing an extremely important job that has to be more focused in the public eye to help actually provide equality in those standards. Because if we don't support women being in management positions, then we can't change the way that they earn money.
Yeah, absolutely. And there have been studies done that show that, you know, we need to start supporting women in agriculture and starting to close that gender gap. And when that's done, it's just proven that whole communities benefit and agricultural production goes up. It's something that people need to be investing in and thinking about.
I think that's absolutely right. Still, for me, being a barista and a coffee professional, it is insane that I would say that 90%, I don't know if my farmer is male or female. I just see, a lot of the times, I just see the farm name. We all say we know exactly who the person is, but especially if you talk about community projects or something like this, it's very hard to put a focus on gender there. So I'm really appreciating what you do there. Which I want to break up with a different question, which leads more, because you have been such a big advocate for women and you have been in the press and the media for such a long time now, that you have probably faced a lot of feminist talks, I reckon. And a lot of the times men feel very excluded when we talk about equality, and they don't know how to act and they don't know what to say, and they just shut up and really don't give an opinion on it. What would you actually recommend how men can help being part of this movement about female empowerment, about speaking up for women?
Katie?
I'm just asking that because I'm working with a lot of guys and girls, and they know that I'm very outspoken about it. And sometimes I just point out little things that they do where I'm saying, you're doing a great job also for your female coworkers. And they're just like, what? Like, they sometimes don't realize it. And then they talk to me being like, I would never openly say anything that I'm doing for women because it gives me a platform to be criticized on anything else I do.
Yeah, I can see that. And I think that, a lot of people think that what we do is, if in order to be a feminist, you have to hate men. And that's so not true. I think that men definitely need to be part of the conversation. So, and they shouldn't be afraid of it. But I do understand why they're hesitant.
I think it can also feel like a bit of a minefield, sorry, not a minefield, a minefield. For men, perhaps that sometimes they just, like you say, they don't know what to say. But I think just being open-minded to it and understanding that there is this inequality at the moment, and realizing that, you know, what we're trying to say here is not excluding to anyone, but actually it's inviting everyone to the conversation. We need both parties to be there at the table to have that conversation. Otherwise, we're just screaming into an empty closet, essentially. So, you know, there's no point for us just talking to other people or other women with the same mindset. We want this conversation to become wider and to do it in a like a light-hearted way. Hence why, you know, we try and be a bit tongue in cheek with everything that we say and how we say it, because we don't want it to be this scary conversation that's supposed to make anyone feel uncomfortable. In fact, it's supposed to make just everyone, you know, come together and go, yeah, we're all bloody brilliant, and let's just get things equal on the table for both sides, and then the world will be a better place. But yeah.
Well, I'm just asking this because I find myself always trapped in a quite controversial situation, because I know that a lot of absolutely brilliant minds in the coffee industry are the co-workers that I have, and they no matter if it's guys or girls, but most of them in the moment are guys. It's just like in another workplace, it might be girls. And I think the most important thing is to empower not just the women, also the men in the same point, by being like, I mean, you're both married, and both of you, like, you have to have a strong partner behind you to be able to do the extreme loads of work that you do in the scale that you do. So it's kind of like a partner work to be where equality originates from.
Yeah, definitely.
To be supported by your partner, to have the time to actually, because you both also have kids, is that correct?
Yes,
Yeah,
that's
to have the time to run a full-on roastery with a massive brand marketing, and still have a normal life.
I think that that's something that's not talked about enough in coffee, actually, is women in coffee who have children.
Yeah, I mean, it was a big topic that I talked about with Vendeline in my first podcast, where I got some insights where it's just like, this is mind-blowing, because I can't talk about it at all, because I'm not at this situation yet, and I couldn't imagine being there doing all of this work that I do, despite from probably all the work that everybody else does in the specialty coffee industry. So organizing this means that you have to work together, and just based on respect and equality, which is the perfect example for empowerment.
Yeah,
Absolutely. absolutely. Can I just say real quick that this, I mean, this goes down to the producer level, and I was really lucky. I was able to visit some of the producers we work with in Colombia, and they're part of an all-female cooperative. And somebody asked one, because their husbands were there as well at this meeting, and asked the husbands how they felt about the women, you know, running their own farms, making decisions. And they admitted that at first they were definitely hesitant, and they didn't understand why they wanted to do it. Why, you know, why couldn't they just let the men take control? But then after a while, they understood. They understood how it benefited their families and how they could actually get more money by marketing their coffee as female produced. It doesn't go without issues. You know, the women have issues there with you know, all of the workers, their pickers that they hire. They don't want to take orders from the women. But they're doing it, and their husbands are behind them. They couldn't have done it if their husbands weren't behind it.
Exactly, because it's kind of like the point that I see in this whole controversial topic, because that's what it is. I think we can talk as much as you want about women being great and women being powerful and women being amazing, but if we don't have an open dialogue with men about it, then there's no point in having an all-female talk.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, cool. Thanks. okay, so every week I ask a couple of very specific, just She's the Barista questions. And I wanted to ask you both, which women has inspired you the most? It doesn't have to be coffee related. In your life, and why? Maybe Fee wants to start.
Oh boy.
Maybe Casey wants to start. I don't know.
No, Fee, go ahead.
Well, to be honest, there's, you know, from two opposite ends of the scale. I think my grandma is actually someone that's inspired me hugely in just, how to do it without getting emotional, but just to, she was such a strong woman who kind of really kept me safe and felt supported just to do whatever I wanted to do in life and not feel like anything should restrict me, not anything, you know, men, relationships, you know, fear, all those things. She just sort of kept me really safe and inspired to go and do great things in the world, because she had such a hard life herself, but never let that sort of get in the way of anything. And then I think design wise I'm inspired by so many female designers out there, but I think someone that was a real groundbreaker for me was probably Vivienne Westwood, just in her punk ethic, but also making change, but with intention. I think it's one thing to do great design work and to have punk ethic, but I think the important message there is to do it with intention of goodness and change within the world. So yeah, they're my two people. They look quite similar as well. My grandma wasn't into the bondage gear though, just
wow, okay, yeah. Cool.
I'll leave you with that visual thought.
All right.
Casey?
I think I was going to say my grandma too, but not just my grandma, but all the women on my dad's side of my family they're all pretty matriarchal. They are all loud. So loud. All family get-togethers. They've all married really quiet men. So all the women are loud and yelling everywhere, and all the men are just kind of sat in the corner, not saying much. So that's what I grew up seeing, which was great, and also, you know, quite inspiring. I think there's just, I can't put a finger on kind of one woman who inspires me. I think anyone who's just trying to do good for themselves. I guess someone I did grow up with who I always thought was super cool was Oprah. Like, you know, one of the richest women in the world. I grew up with her on the TV. She's quite inspiring.
That's fine, because I think we already have Oprah quote in another episode.
Oh God!
I do have to also say that my grandmother is probably one of my biggest inspirations, because she's if we look at the time that they've gone through, especially in Europe. I mean, my grandmother's obviously German, so she lived through war, and then she lived through the GDR, and then like they've not have amazing lives. They never had the opportunities that we had today. And as a child, I was always skeptical about why she was so grumpy all the time. But she was just giving everything for the family. She was such a very silent lover, in terms of like she's giving so much passion and so much love to her family without ever really verbalizing it. So I can absolutely recall to my grandmother as well.
Yeah, his grandmas.
That's a big, Big shout out to grandmas. They're awesome.
Oh, so cute.
That comes to my next question. I mean, it is hard to talk about, obviously, your role models, but maybe especially in the coffee scene, like people that you see in the coffee scene every day or like big names that you say, are there people that empower you, especially in your field of roasting, to push more, to do better, or to be like, oh, she's done that, or maybe even like other industry, like if you have a cafe that runs very well, where you see a woman doing like new stuff, especially like maybe for fee for design, do you have a certain person in mind for that?
I've always really been inspired by Annette from Square Mile. Sort of been following her career from the beginning. And I like that she's really humble. She's not really in the public eye that much. And I think that I can relate to her more than a lot of other people in the industry right now. She's done loads of work. I've always found her quite inspiring. Mm.
It's a lot of the times it's the people in the background where it's just like, oh my God, they are shaping the industry without really taking credit for it.
Yeah.
Exactly after this question, I unfortunately had a quite bad connection to the girls at the time. But what I could save is me saying goodbye to the girls, and I didn't want to miss that.
Yeah, and thank you so much for having this chat with me. It has been incredible.
Well, thanks for having us.
Cool.
It's lovely to finally talk to you.
Yeah, it is. I've been a fan of the page for so long. I've got like about 3 shirts.
Oh, you feel like one of our biggest ambassadors. It's amazing.
So for everyone who's listening, please follow Girls Who Grind Coffee and please buy their coffee. It's really, really delicious. On that note, do you want to say anything else before we say goodbye?
Not from me, but just as a massive thank you to you all and to whoever's listening as well. Thanks so much for all of your support over the last couple of years or few years. And stay home and stay safe.
Yep, thanks for having us.
Well, thank you so much for being there. I'm gonna talk a little bit more to my audience. So I want you to have a beautiful and wonderful day. I think it's a public holiday at yours today.
It is.
So enjoy your day off.
Thank
I hope
you.
You'll get spoiled rotten by your families. And have a wonderful day.
Well, what an amazing team. Coming from different countries and with diverse backgrounds, these incredible women have come together to create an influential company with some really powerful messages. What can we learn from such an amazing team? That sticking to your philosophy and goals isn't always easy. But at the end of the day, it is exceptionally rewarding and can help people from all walks of life. And that promoting equality isn't a one-sided project. We must all work together to empower, protect, and encourage one another to create a future that is better for everyone. If you have any questions about today's podcast or have some suggestions for future episodes, head to nicolebartefeld.com/podcast and shoot me a message. Until next time, I'm Nicole, and thanks for listening to She's the Barista.